The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a pitcher that could be worth 1,000 wins. Deshaun sends a message. You will see it right off the top. Then, the solution. So simple for Dak and Dallas. The question is, will either side be willing to actually do it? We've got it covered. And then, he won the Super Bowl. Now the hard part begins for Tampa Tom. We'll tell you exactly what he needs to do to run this back again by the Bay. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now. On a Tuesday from New York, delighted you were here. Greeny, and thank you for getting up with us. We have so much coming your way. Highlights in the offing, football conversation is the beginning, and look who's here. The big swagoo is ready to go. Jeff Saturday is handing out pancakes this morning, and Jeff Darlington has all the insight for us as we begin with what has been a very eventful offseason in Houston, and it has only barely begun. Of course, it all started with them not consulting their franchise quarterback Deshaun Watson in their general manager search, ignoring the search firm that they hired, ultimately going with Patriots director of player personnel Nick Cazario, but that seemed to be the final straw for Deshaun. Late in January, he requests a trade away from the organization. So far, there's been no desire or inclination that they're willing to grant that, but they did grant the wish last week of franchise icon J.J. Watt. He asked for his release on Friday, and the two sides mutually agreed to part ways, and all of that brings us to right now. Over the weekend, this photo posted online by Watson's marketing agent with Watson out in Miami, accompanied by members of the Dolphins, including two of them who were his college teammates back in his days in Clemson. And so once again, a photo can be worth a million words, at least of speculation. And we begin with our insider, Jeff Darlington. Jeff, what should we take away from this?
I mean, I love this, Greeny. Let's preface it by saying that I love it. I love that we're talking about it. I love when we make something massive out of a social media moment, whether it's someone liking or following or posting. All that said, I think that the part about him being Clemson teammates is important. I also think it's significant that when a marketing person puts out a photo, it does not suggest that a deal is imminent. Usually when deals are imminent, the marketing people clamp down and don't tell us anything. So just take that for what it's worth. That being said, I don't want to pour water on this. I love it.
Here's the other thing that I take from it is that when the marketing guy is putting out the photo, it suggests that they're ready to play. They're playing the game the same way the Texans are. The Texans are playing their cards, which is they're telling the world they're not trading him. And Deshaun and his side are playing their cards, which is here's a picture of Deshaun hanging out with a bunch of Dolphins in Miami. Go ahead, world. Speculate all you want. So, Marcus, the question is this. I've had people say to me, the Dolphins, they tanked a season for Tua or whatever it was. They waited all that time. They've got the young quarterback. They just drafted him in the top five a year ago. They've got good pieces and are starting to build something new. Do you, Marcus Spears, believe the Dolphins should be willing to trade Tua Tagovailoa and a bunch of picks to get Deshaun Watson?
In a New York minute, absolutely, they should. Listen, this dude elevates everybody around him. We talk about a different level right now, G. Tua has development. He has things that he needs to do, which I believe Tua will eventually be a good quarterback. But guess what I already know? That Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback. We talking about a dude that lost his number one receiver and led the league in passing. The only shining star for the Houston Texans. So when you look at this situation in its entirety, and you think about the unprecedented moment that we're in with a quarterback that just signed a long-term deal in his prime, and you think about him going to another team, you ask yourself, where would he be better suited? Miami? That's been my place since the beginning. So I like the damn social media pictures, Jeff Darlington, just like I like the Tom Ford book in the background. I like the damn Emmy in the background. I like the Nintendo in the background. The Super Flex this morning by Jeff Darlington. It's matched by the super flex of Deshaun Watson. So I love everything about it. G, speculate the hell away, because I'm going to be right there with you speculating until Deshaun Watson is in South Beach with those ballers in Miami, and we talking about the Dolphins making an AFC playoff run.
Well, look, I'm going to stay there. A professional speculator for 30 years. I'm not going to stop now. Let me bring Saturday into the conversation on that thought. Complete this sentence. Because the Dolphins have a whole bunch of draft picks they could give up, and they have the young quarterback that maybe the Texans would like to build around. So if the Dolphins were to get Deshaun Watson and not have to trade away any other current pieces on their team, Jeff, what are they next season with Deshaun Watson as their quarterback? What are the Dolphins in the AFC?
Three games better. I mean, they won 10 games this year with Deshaun Watson. They're 13, right? I mean, like, this is how important Deshaun Watson is and how good of a football player he really is. And you heard Swagoo talk about, you've traded away all his strong players. His offensive line has been mediocre. He still has played through that. I absolutely love the flex. Like Swagoo's saying, man, only thing that would have been better is he'd had that picture and then a dumpster fire picture for the Texans right beside each other. You know what I mean? That would have been the ultimate flex. That's the way I would have played the game. Hire me as your media guy, baby. I got everything you need, Deshaun Watson. I can get you out of there as quick as you want, baby. Because that cat, listen, in all seriousness, he goes to Miami, he makes them a true contender. Because it's not winning games only defensively. He can win games offensively. And what makes a difference in a franchise quarterback and a great quarterback in the NFL, and you heard what I said, franchise and great, is that franchise guy gets you 2 to 3 years, wins a year. That is a big difference. I mean, listen, we talked about Kirk Cousins and how much money he made playing the game. Deshaun Watson wins you games. That's the difference between a franchise guy and a good quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, so that's where it begins this morning with a quarterback.
Oh, welcome to Miami.
Let's go.
Next stop.
Let's go.
Welcome to Miami.
Is with a quarterback that not so many people believe in quite as much. The Carson Wentz trade saga continues, and there are people around the league who believe the Eagles will also explore options with Zach Ertz. Yesterday here on this program, Bart Scott had a bold proclamation regarding the possibility of Wentz to Chicago.
I know Wentz hasn't had the best season last year, but come on, Mitchell Trubisky, this is a great upgrade. You think about what he was. He's a guy that was sacked 50 times. We saw Patrick Mahomes become a mere mortal when he didn't have protection. Well, that's exactly what Carson Wentz had to endure in Philadelphia. If he goes to Chicago, that makes Chicago, I believe, a Super Bowl contender. Or the Colts as well.
So throwing in or the Colts as well, everybody is going to agree with. I think we all agree that maybe any of us sitting here on your screen right now could go to Indianapolis and the Colts might be a Super Bowl contender. But Jeff Darlington, let's start with the pieces here. What do we know about this trade? Because we had reason to believe there was reporting that this was imminent and the days keep going by. What do we know is the latest on Carson Wentz?
So, Greeny, I was just having a conversation with somebody who's very close to the situation. And basically, by the way, at the end of this conversation, I don't want to bury the lead here. I said, so what's the holdup? And the answer was simple. It's February 16th. The league year doesn't even start for another month, with a lot of exclamation points on that. Mm-hmm. And that is an important point, by the way. March 19th is the date that they would owe Carson Wentz $10 million. So that's maybe the target, the runway that this team has to play with. But, you know, you bring up the idea of, like, what is the hang-up? If there's a couple of teams out there, like the Bears and the Colts, that are interested in him, why wouldn't they just pull the trigger on the best deal at this point? I am told that it's not as if Carson Wentz has a no-trade clause in his contract. They don't have to really care what he thinks on this. Now, Carson Wentz can help them contractually to make the trade a more lucrative option for the potential suitor, but that doesn't have to happen. So basically, long story short, the Eagles simply have time, so they feel like they might as well just kind of milk this thing to make sure that they get the best option before they pull the trigger on a trade.
Sometimes you have to be a little careful of that, though, because there are other teams out there that might just decide to make other moves. So we'll see. This is the chess game that comes along with this carousel. So Jeff Saturday, work with me. We heard what Bart Scott said. Complete this sentence. If they get Carson Wentz, the Chicago Bears with Carson Wentz at their quarterback are what?
a playoff team. Chicago Bears, that's it. Like, they're not Super Bowl contenders, absolutely not. Like, listen, this team has a lot to improve on. I don't think Carson Wentz pushes them over the top. I mean, when you talk about what Darlington's talking about, the Colts versus the Bears and what that looks like, listen, man, the Chicago Bears, defensively, you have their defensive coordinator who's leaving. He's retiring. They have an offensive line that was just average. They have a running back who played above grade. But it's not like Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, you bench Mitchell Trubisky because he wasn't good enough. You bring in Foles. There's too much stuff going on here with Nagy, this whole organization. I'm just telling you, if I'm Carson Wentz, I'm pumping the brakes on the Bears. It's not like they've made these offensive steps. They've regressed every year offensively in Chicago since Nagy has been there. So if you're Carson Wentz, I would say be aware, buyer beware on this situation. You know, I know he didn't have a whole lot to say, but I'd say what I could for sure.
Yeah, that's to Darlington's point. Yeah. Unlike Deshaun, he doesn't have a no-trade clause, so he really doesn't have control over the situation beyond whatever actions he might be able to take. Marcus, I'll give you the easier and fun one. What are the Indianapolis Colts with Carson Wentz as their quarterback?
Oh, they're Super Bowl contenders if they return him to what think his form would be. Right. You think about this, G. This is one of the conundrums that people are having with Carson Wentz. We all watched the tape last year. You wouldn't trade a bag of damn Skittles for him based on what he did last year at quarterback. But everybody is thinking about this from the 2017 perspective and the 2018 when he took this team that was belabored to the playoffs, beat Dallas in that final conference game to get to the playoffs. Listen. It's never been a question about Carson Wentz's talent or whether he could play the position. We've seen him play this position at the highest level in the MVP conversation. So all teams are betting on 3 years ago what Carson Wentz did.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely a market for him. Like, I don't want people to get it twisted. I threw a bag of Skittles out there because he did play terrible. But Frank Wright had a lot of success with Carson Wentz. DeFilippo has been promoted in Chicago, had a lot of success. Indy is a Super Bowl run team. Chicago, I'm with Jeff, becomes a playoff football team. So if Indy is in the position to get him and Frank Wright knows him like we know he knows him, then Indy is way better at the quarterback spot than they were last year, even with Phillip Rivers.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, the one issue I would talk about with Carson Wentz and the Bears as well is I feel like leadership is an issue in Chicago, right? It's almost a vacuum, especially offensively. Defensively, they may be sewed up, but offensively, you're asking Wentz to come in and bring a leadership quality to this football team and step in as opposed to Indianapolis. You walk in, you have strong voices throughout the locker room. Offensive line, strong voice, right? Running back has new and upcoming strong voice. Defense is locked in. The maniac, Darius Leonard, what he says. So you have a lot of strong personalities. That nucleus is better. I think to Swagoo's point, man, you walk into Chicago. I know they backed into the playoffs this year. You might be a playoff, but you're asking a lot of a guy who's trying to overcome his own reputation at this point to leave that locker room.
Yeah.
A very good point. Yeah, the Bears need a savior. That might not be the right role for Carson Wentz at this particular moment. All right, next up on the quarterback carousel, and this is a good one, is Dak Prescott, because this is the one that will not go away. You know what happened. He played an injury-shortened season in 2020 on the franchise tag and somehow still managed to have his leverage skyrocket. But now Dak and the Cowboys remain at a stalemate on a long-term deal. And yesterday here on this program, Mike Tannenbaum floated the sign-and-trade idea.
Trade him to the Bears for 3 first-round picks. You don't think Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace would give up 3 first-round picks to have a young franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott? So I agree with you. The best way for them to cut their losses today is to try to get 3 ones for Dak and start all over again, because you have an aging running back in Zeke Elliott that's getting paid too much. You've lost good young players, so you might as well start over now. You can't win with Andy Dalton. I think it's a great idea.
Okay, and so what he's referring to was this thing that I floated, and let me bring my former Cowboy into the conversation here, Marcus Spears. Jerry Jones, there's just really no nice way to say this, has screwed the situation up so badly, has put himself into a position where it is going to be so expensive to keep Dak Prescott that right now, realistically, the best thing they can do is sign and trade him and rebuild. Because even with him, they're a bad team. They're not a Super Bowl contender or anything close, even with him. And it'll cost them $90 million to assure themselves of keeping him the next two seasons and him not walking away for absolutely nothing. So the best option right now for the Cowboys, as much as I think he's a great player, Marcus, is to sign and trade him and start all over again.
Gee, I hate to agree with this because I'm a fan. And I love Dak Prescott. And I want Dak Prescott to be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. But to your point and to Tannenbaum's point, we are not here if we're not sitting here for 3 years talking about this. We don't have type of things come up about franchise quarterbacks if we're not having these same conversations year in and year out. And G, to that point, I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, I don't know if you can get 3-1s for Dak Prescott because of the ankle injury. If you know anything about the league, you know people gonna throw all of the bad stuff out there to devalue you in order to get you to perform at a high level. That's what they do. Every free agent has been through it. Jeff Saturday understands. I'm the greatest center in the world when I'm in the second year of my contract. When I'm in the fifth year of it and I got to get re-upped I got a lot to work on to be a center. So I don't know if other teams would give 3-1s, but if I'm Dallas and somebody came at me with 3 first-round picks, knowing the financial situation that I'm in, that I'll be in, and I'm in with Dak, that is definitely something that I would have to think about as the Cowboys. Yeah. And that breaks my heart because he the only chance we got, man.
It is. It's understandable that the fans would be frustrated by this. But Jeff Saturday, here's the real – they behaved last year, last offseason, like they were a win-right-now team. They went out and they hired a coach they thought could get them to the Super Bowl. They drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They acted like they were about to win the Super Bowl, and they went 6-10 and lost a division in which no team wound up with a winning record. So that's where they actually are, Jeff, regardless of where they think they are. So, Jeff Saturday, what do you think of the idea of starting over?
Yeah, I think you're giving up too much for Dak Prescott. I mean, listen, Dak Prescott has made will make under $70 million his tagged years, right? So the sign and trade idea is great if he wants to go there. But guess what? He's won this thing, man. He has all the leverage. Dak Prescott's going to get franchised again. He can sit on that contract, play it, and then next year he can pick where he wants to go. So if he don't want to go to Chicago for 3 picks, he doesn't have to do any of this thing because it requires that sign and trade deal for him. I think Dak Prescott just plays this thing totally cool. They would have to do everything exactly as I said Prescott before I go anywhere. I'm going to sit this thing back. I'm going to play it as easy as I can because I've already won. And your point is this. They went 6-10 last year. Why'd they go 6-10? Because he was on the bench. They're not a 6-10 football team if he's on that football field. This is a different group. And they don't just fall. Listen, they don't just fall to you, man. This guy has earned it. He has earned it. I don't care how many picks you're getting. If they can't come in and produce like him, you screwed yourself again.
Jeff Tarlington.
Jeff Saturday is exactly right. I remember having a conversation with Scott McLuhan. He was the general manager of the Washington football team. And he basically told me that if they didn't sign Kirk Cousins at a specific point, that the balance was going to weigh that they would never be able to sign him because he was going to be too expensive to where it got to, it just couldn't happen. And that's where I feel like we have gotten to with Dak Prescott. Jeff Saturday is right. Just like Kirk Cousins hit a point where he won, Dak Prescott is now there as well. He has no incentive to take a team incentivized deal. He should play this thing out, play for $37.5 million this season, and go get his money. There is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and so that's where it's going to wind up going. And so, Marcus, here's what's worse. The only thing worse for you as a fan than them trading him away and you seeing him go is that what's going to happen is next year, a year from right now, he's going to leave there as a free agent and you're going to get nothing. That's what's going to happen to the Cowboys.
I love my colleagues. I love Jeff Saturday and Jeff Darlington, and I love you, G. But I'm mad as hell listening to them because they are absolutely right. And here's the deal. Here's the deal, okay? Because you know I go up and down with this Dak conversation. But here's the real deal. When it comes to Marcus Spears, All I want to see is the players win. That's all I want. All I want. When I said Dak need to get the hell out of there, that's because I want to see Dak win. I want every single player in the NFL, when it's time for their money or their contract, I want it to work out exactly how it's supposed to work out. People got mad at me talking about fourth and fifth, four or a five-year deal. If Dak want a four-year deal, give it to him. Because you got three free years, basically, off of him performing on a team that you built for Tony Romo and did not expect him to come and play this well. Gee, I'm going to settle down. I don't want to sweat in the first hour, okay? But here's the deal. Dak is in the perfect position, like Jeff and Jeff said, the Jeff and Jeff brothers. And bottom line is, I'm going to be sad to see him go. But if he get his money and he ends up in a great situation, that's what I'm here for anyway. So onward and upward, Dak Prescott. Because that's where your money going.
You're going to be happy. He's going to get all of his money. It will just most likely be somewhere else. I have to leave it there. We'll come back to this. We have so much to do as we continue. Coming up, another quarterback situation worth watching. Big Ben making a huge deal about his center retiring. Why is that the most important relationship in football? Could it mean the end of an era? Plus, TB12 wants number 8, but the Buccaneers are going to have to make some bold decision in the weeks ahead. How different could the champs look? We've got the snapshot. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we are doing something now for the very first time. This is the first ever offensive lineman sneaky Hembo question we've ever had, and it's for Jeff Saturday. With Maurkice Pouncey retiring, which active offensive lineman has received the most Pro Bowl selections? Jeff Saturday, that question is going to be for you. We'll see if you get that right as we continue next. We also have this. Tom Brady has 7 rings. OBJ would love to get 1. What would you think of the two getting together to try and win it together next season? We've got that and more as we roll on. Let's get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and Marcus, I've not yet had a chance to get your reaction to this. One of our viewers put this together last week. How about it? What do you think, Swagger?
Gee, shout out to the undefeated, number one, man. Listen, this is very original. I like it. I respect it. I love paying homage to Bernie Mac and Cedric the Entertainer and D.L. Hughley and none other than my man Steve Harvey. But this four right here, we'll give them a run for their money, man. R.I.P. Bernie Mac, the original kings of TV comedy, TV sports comedy. It's here to stay, baby. Let's go.
It's a show I would definitely pay to see. All right, as we continue here, even at 36, LeBron still dominates, but he's added a wrinkle to his game that has some scratching their heads. We'll tell you what that is and why we have a huge problem with it. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up. All right, Jeff Saturday, you're representing offensive linemen everywhere. It's the first ever sneaky hembo on the offensive line. So Marquise Pouncey is retiring. Which active offensive lineman has received the most Pro Bowl selections? Jeff.
So are we counting Marquise Pouncey?
No,
or is he out of the conversation?
Not counting Marquise Pouncey. Not counting him, because he is now retired.
I'm gonna say Jason Peters would be my guy.
That is correct. He got it right. Attaboy.
Yes.
Jason Peters and Marquise Pouncey with 9 each. Trent Williams with 8. Tyron Smith with 7. Jeff Saturday standing up for offensive linemen everywhere. And here's another one you will like, Mr. Saturday. Ben Roethlisberger spent 17 seasons in Pittsburgh, 11 of them with Pouncey as his center. And with Pouncey announcing his retirement on Friday, Big Ben offered these thoughts on their relationship. He said, "I'd love to ask other quarterbacks who have played with one guy for a long time how close they were with their center. I'm sure they say he's one of their best friends. There's something different about it. The quarterback-center relationship is unlike any other in sports. The relationship and communication you want to have with the one guy in front of you, you genuinely need him more than anything else. That's what makes the center position so special." And we have Jeff Saturday, as every Tuesday, and no one would understand that better than you would. Jeff, when you hear Ben saying that, what thoughts go through your mind?
I love it, man. It's so true. You know, I'm so appreciative that he said that about his guy. Pouncey has been such an incredible player for the Steelers, but that he's talking about their relationship off the field is as important as it is on the field just means a ton. And I know Pouncey would say the exact same thing about Roethlisberger. Look, I played with Manning for 13 years, man, and that relationship is like none other. And I think it's unique, Greeny, because when you think about with quarterbacks, you often think about their receivers, but the center is a guy who we don't really need anything from the quarterback, right? So our relationship is genuine. We don't have to be nice because we're not expecting him to give us the ball, right? We don't have to pull on him to try to get something. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. But all the meetings that you have, I mean, think about it this way: you start every practice with center quarterback exchange. That means it's just the two of you, maybe your quarterback coach or offensive coordinator. You're talking about the practices, the schemes, all the different things. As you lead up to the week, you talk about all the blitz packages, the runs packages, the audibles, the changes. And then when you're sitting on the sideline, man, you talk about the success you've had. And I think that goes a ton into it as well, man. Just such a nice thing for him to say about Pouncey. And I appreciate him saying that because it's true. That center quarterback, man, that relationship's like none other in sport.
And so it's nice to hear that. It genuinely is nice to hear about those relationships. And then it does lead one to wonder. And Jeff Darlington, I'll come to you. As we sit and try and figure out what Ben Roethlisberger's future in Pittsburgh looks like, there were some who wondered if he and Pouncey would go out together. Well, Pouncey is going out. What does all this mean for Ben?
I do wonder, by the way, Jeff Saturday, if you're a center and the quarterback doesn't like you, does he go into shotgun or does he stay under center? Because that, too, feels like it's an intimate relationship. But that's for...
He made a good joke and he just exited, just like that. Good night, everybody. That's Jeff Darlington dropping the mic. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, let me say this. I don't know that the Jeff Saturday we looking at right now is not the Jeff Saturday I just saw in them Super Bowl. I don't know if he was ever a center, G. Because that dude, the dude I'm looking at now can go buy suits off the rack from the mall. That's how small and good he looked. He got cheekbones. His suit is fitting tight, but it's not sloppy. Jeff Saturday, you did right after the league. That's what I'm talking about. But, yeah, man, you know.
Hold on one second. Can I just request that we go back?
Hold on, Marcus. To go back to the other shot of Jeff Darlington is still frozen, I think it's amusing, and let's just see how long it lasts. I mean, we've been doing this for a year. Yeah. It's still there. I mean, literally, we're coming up on a year that we've been doing this. Let's just leave him up. Let's go back to the four box and just leave it. Can we time this? I just want to see how long this goes. Jeff Darlington is frozen in that spot. If he makes it all the way to 10 a.m. Eastern, it'll be great. Oh, he moved. Well, you ruined it. Go ahead.
I think he moved.
No, he froze again. Look, he just moved for a second. This is life in 2021 on television. Darlington, if you can hear me and you are mobile, go ahead and answer the question. What do we know about Ben Roethlisberger retiring?
I mean, I'm going to just talk here and assume that you can hear me. But look, Ben Roethlisberger, speaking with someone who knows the guy, says that there isn't a working assumption right now that he is coming back and he is playing. And I think I should just point out that never again should I make a comment about exchange.
Yes. I can't. I don't know what. I don't even know what to say at this point. Let's go, Marcus.
Hey, G.
Yes.
G. How the hell are we gonna get Deshaun Watson to Miami with spotty internet and Wi-Fi? The man got to have Wi-Fi.
Got a post.
He got to have social. I mean, Jeff Darlington, seriously, I just sent out a damn tweet talking about I'm on here with my Jeff brothers and G on the ones and twos, and then you go to freezing, man. We got ice storms happening. We got all kind of stuff around this country happening, and people got their damn internet. And you in Miami with all that pretty weather, and you can't get your internet connection squared away. Get out. You look like Rand Paul right now. That's what you look like.
Yes. And so I thought that was amusing. I hope you enjoyed it at home as well. Let's go to our next team here. And that would be the Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll be aiming to do something no team has done in nearly 20 years, and that is win back-to-back Super Bowls. Tom Brady was the last to do it in 03 and 04. Tampa has a projected $20 million in cap space and a number of notable free agents they need to re-sign. For example, the front seven that sacked Rodgers and Mahomes a combined 8 times in the playoffs. Three of them are open to sign, including Shaq Barrett, who played on the franchise tag last year. Offensively, big-time wideouts Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, and, of course, Brady's best friend Rob Gronkowski are all in need of new contracts. So, last week, when his internet was better, Jeff Darlington floated this idea here on Get Up.
These guys have been close for a number of years and have expressed to each other the desire and eventual wish to play together. But look, the question is, when it really comes down to it, is Chris Godwin going to take perhaps less money if they're not willing to give him upwards of $20 million? If those things go down, I could certainly see them pursuing a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., who I guarantee you Tom Brady would love to be throwing passes to.
So Jeff said that last week. Then Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for us at NFL Nation, posted this over the weekend talking about players that might need a change of scenery. And he mentioned OBJ, saying he's shown he still has tremendous talent, but with the Browns thriving without him offensively down the stretch, it might make sense for both him and the team to find a trade at some point down the line. So, Marcus, let me come to you on this here. My LSU guy, as Odell is, I know you know him well and all of that. And it is not a criticism to say that it might just not be a good fit with him and the Cleveland Browns, and it might be a great fit with him and Tom Brady in Tampa. How do you like it?
I like it a lot, G. And let me tell you, it's two reasons I like it. One, I think he needs to get out of Cleveland. I think Cleveland has proven that they want to thrive in a more wholesome offensive setting where everybody's involved. We saw them have a lot of success, and people talked about Baker is better without OBJ, his numbers and all of that. But I think this offense opened up more with Stefanski and Baker and allowing other guys to get involved. So that's the Cleveland part. The Tampa part is this. OBJ with Tom Brady, you kidding me, and Mike Evans? And I think OBJ needs this at this point of his career. He needs to be paired with a Tom Brady or a Deshaun Watson or someone like that. Think about Tom Brady. Now, let's put this in perspective. Tom Brady, New England went out and got Randy Moss. They went and got Ocho Cinco. They've been doing this. Tom Brady is used to bringing in high-level, high-skilled talent wide receivers and having success with them. Ocho Cinco didn't work out that well, yeah. But we saw what he did with Randy. My point being, If you put OBJ in this environment, in this setting, with a veteran quarterback that he's going to learn from. We saw Leonard Fournette game step up. We saw Gronk come back off retirement and have a lot of success. We saw Godwin have a really good season. Mike Evans had everybody's involved, and I think 12 does that for people. OBJ would be well suited in Tampa. And maybe Godwin for OBJ?
The Godwin is a free agent. So one of the pieces in this is 24-year-old Chris Godwin might get a fortune of money someplace. And if he goes, OBJ slides in. It might be a really nice fit. Jeff Saturday, what do you think?
Yeah, listen, Tom Brady is the wide receiver whisperer, right? I mean, and Swagoo just made reference to how many guys they have brought in and what he's done for wide receiver careers. And here's what he does best. Think about Antonio Brown coming in and the way that he brought him into the fold midway through the season this year and how it didn't upset the apple cart, right? That thing kept smooth sailing. If Godwin decides to leave and move on, OBJ, the demands that Brady puts on his teammates because of the success and credibility that he has in the locker room, everybody just finds fit, right? They understand their role and they become the role players that teams can use best. OBJ would be that type of receiver for him. You bring him in, hey, here's a role you're going to play. Antonio Brown's got this. Mike Evans has this. Gronk has this, right? I mean, just keep placing him down the line. You saw the way Fournette found form in Tampa Bay as the year progressed. That's the greatest part about having Tom Brady is it's not an emergency. You'll watch them progress and get better as the season goes on.
Yeah.
And he just rides the wave as they get there, as they get closer and closer to the playoffs and potentially Super Bowl. I think it's a fantastic fit for him, and I think it would serve his career, that being OBJ, so well to get under a guy like Tom Brady for the leadership that he presents.
Could be really fascinating, a possibility here. Guys, stay with me. We have much more football to go, but we have not yet gotten to the game of the night. Let's rectify that quickly because we had a good one last night. The Sixers and the Jazz, the best story in the sport. And early on, it was Ben Simmons. No Joel Embiid last night. No problem. Ben Simmons just took over the game. Look at him here on the offensive glass and throwing it down off the miss and then driving through contact, and it's good. Ben Simmons on this night would not attempt a single shot outside the paint. He still had 19 in the first quarter, 42 for the game. Sixers were up 7 early, but then the Jazz would start to take over, and it's Donovan Mitchell. 3 of his 24, the Jazz a 12-point lead in the third. Under 5 minutes to go in the third, it's a 10-point game, and it's Jordan Clarkson. How about the night Clarkson had? 8 threes off the bench. Utah by 12 after 3. Under 9 to go in the fourth now. Sixers are down 8. Matisse Thybulle turning defense into offense. Simmons, yes, again, Simmons, a career high, 42, plus 9 boards, plus 12 assists. It's a 6-point game, under 7 to go. 7 points is the lead. Tobias Harris, he had 36. It's a 4-point game. A minute later, Utah, Clarkson in the corner. Clarkson, the fourth player in Utah history to score 40 off the bench. They had a 9-point lead and then looking to put it away, and that they would. Shot clock running down. Royce O'Neal. The Jazz took 45 threes in this game, and they win again, 134-123. They're not just winning on the court, but also with the bank. They're at 19-1 in their last 20 games. They've covered the number in 18 of those. That's the second best cover percentage over a 20-game span by any team in the last 30 years. Meanwhile, you want hoops? We got them for you tomorrow night. John Wall and the Rockets in Philly to take on Embiid and the Sixers. That's 7:30 Eastern. And it's followed by Jimmy and the Heat taking on Steph and the Warriors. Coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Coming up on the surface, Marcus Spears and Peyton Manning seem very different, but now they share something very important. And you will hear what that is next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and I'm sure you've seen this already by now. Friday, the Jaguars accepted Chris Doyle's resignation as the director of sports performance. One day after Urban Meyer's new staff was announced, Doyle was accused of making racist remarks, belittling and bullying players while he served as the University of Iowa's strength and conditioning coach. And this is something that has gotten a great deal of attention in a lot of different places. And as we bring everyone back into the conversation here, Marcus, I've not yet had a chance to get your thoughts on this. What was your primary takeaway from the way that all went down in Jacksonville?
Yeah, the hiring, G, was just tone deaf. I mean, all of the things that we've been dealing with in the country, in the league, we had a head coaching cycle where we had no black coaches get hired until David Culley in Houston. And then we start having the conversation about social injustice and things that are happening. And then Urban Meyer goes out and hires a guy that had to leave Iowa because of racial things, discretions that happened from him. And players coming out and saying he's using racial slurs and things like that. So the bottom line is when we start to have, like Urban Meyer has painted us a picture now. And I tried to, like, at least say, okay, is he really invested in this, or is he trying to do a favor for a guy that he knows? Because there is no way that you hire this guy with that baggage in this time. So it was just tone deaf to me. And then you see the resigning. And Urban Meyer gave us this reason. This was what he said. I've known him for 20 years. I vetted him. Bro, you ain't vetted nobody good. All the things that we've talked about you before this Jacksonville hire and the things that transpired at Ohio State, what happened at Florida, like, you don't have the opportunity to vet anybody, Urban Meyer. You need to let other people handle that. So, G, for me, initially, tone deaf. And then I thought about Urban Meyer saying he vetted somebody after what we watched transpire at Ohio State before he ended up leaving there as the head coach. Tone deaf,
to say the least. Jeff Saturday, what did you take away from it?
Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah, read the room, right? Like, he completely missed here. And let me bring up something that I don't think a lot of people have talked about. The position that he was placed in, players probably spend the most time with that coach, barring potentially your position coach in the NFL. You spend every winter, spring, summer, you have contact with this guy, if not daily, a few times a week, talking about nutrition, talking about your body, your health, all, you know, your mental health, all of those things. This is a very, very strong relational position on an NFL staff. That goes overlooked a ton. Man, this isn't X's and O's. This is personal relationship. That he missed that part, to me, was the most shocking. Listen, if we ain't strong enough, we ain't in the NFL, right? I can go lift weights. I need a guy that helps me keep for longevity of my career, for the success of my career, for my mental health. All those things tie in with that position. He missed totally on that part when you're talking about what the Iowa players came up, you know, the biggest discrepancies they had and the frustration. It's that part, man, that we missed, right? How do you miss that part as well? It was just shocking to me.
Jeff Darlington, what did you hear from? Hold on, I just want to hear, Jeff, what reaction you've heard from around the league. Like, well, this has now been a few days. What kinds of questions have you heard people asking around the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I don't sense, like, I talk to a bunch of people around the league all the time, and I don't sense like. I think people were just surprised that he thought he could do that. And I remember covered Nick Saban back when he was with the Miami Dolphins. And I'm not trying to put the NFL on some pedestal where it doesn't belong. Or, you know, I actually thought Saban would succeed as a head coach in the NFL. I still think he could. But there were several elements that he couldn't get around. And one of which was, like, he hated the idea that you only had one first round pick. His family didn't necessarily love being in South Florida, where you're not put as the king and the queen of the town like you are in a college town. There are differences between the NFL and the college game that exist that I just don't think that Urban Meyer necessarily in this case understood. And again, not trying to put the NFL on a huge pedestal here, but there is differences, and I think that that's going to be something that Meyer has to understand.
Marcus, final thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, but both Jeffs make a great point. And I wanted to piggyback because Jeff Saturday said something that is vitally important. You spend a lot of time with your strength and conditioning coach, but the most important element to that relationship is trust. I mean, throughout the league. But the bottom line is when you have a guy, if I'm a player in that locker room and that is my strength and conditioning coach, I don't know if I'm going to ever trust him because of what he came with. And that's why, from a football perspective, it was tone deaf as hell, too, because you got grown men that know about this story that are black. And the trust is already done before the relationship has an opportunity to even grow. So it was just bad all around, G.
It was. It's still difficult to believe that it happened exactly the way that it happened. That said, let me change the tone here because this was a very good week for our friend Marcus Spears. Marcus Spears, the big swagoo, has been elected to the Louisiana High School Sports Hall of Fame. He was a star standout at Southern University Lab High School. He was first team All-State on offense and defense. And look at the Hall of Fame class. Peyton Manning, Ed Reed, Willis Reed, Elvin Hayes, Eli Manning, Daniel Cormier, and the big swagoo, Marcus Spears, elected to the Louisiana High School Sports Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Marcus Spears.
Thank you, baby. That's awesome. Play some big ball in that boot, man. Listen, the names, the legacy. I knew about all of these guys. I watched them. I was fans of them. But it's some down there, G, in that water that creates these athletes, man. We got more to come. But on a serious note, I'm literally honored, man. This is huge. Like, growing up, I grew up. I stayed home for college. I played at LSU. I love the state of Louisiana. I love the people there for what they did for me. And to be going into the High School Hall of Fame, if you know about my high school journey, it means a lot to me. It means a tremendous amount to me, man. So I'm just honored. It's almost emotional because in high school, I don't know if people know this, but I was ruled ineligible because I didn't live in the district per se. And it was this whole big thing. And then for it to come full circle and end up going into the Louisiana Hall of Fame, it's unreal to me, G. But blessed, man. It's not me. Y'all know that. It takes so many people to get you to where you're trying to go. So on that night, it'll be so many people honored because it took a lot of people to get this knucklehead to where I am, man.
But we love you. Congratulations. And that is an extraordinary class. Man. I mean, from Willis Reed and Elvin Hayes to Peyton Manning and Ed Reed and Eli, congratulations
that is a class.
To the big swagoo. All right, I got to take a break here up against the end of the hour. Also, a reminder, the Australian Open coverage continues tonight. Men's and women's quarters among the athletes you will see. You will see that man, the 2-seed Rafa Nadal, tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN+, and 9 Eastern on ESPN2. As we continue, Deshaun Watson posing for a picture. The entire NFL reacts why a single snap could change the fortunes of multiple teams. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.